disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's the appearance day of Pundarik Vijayaniti. It's the appearance day of Raghunandana Thakur. And it's the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami today. So it's a big day, Vaishnava calendar. So because it's the disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we'll chant before we read the prayers of departed Vaishnavas. Does everybody know them? No. All right. So we'll just chant once, or we won't chant responsively since you all don't know them. Jaya Nilo Prema Danda Koruna Pracho Heno Prabho Kota Gela Acharya Taku Kahamura Swaru Krupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Datsa Raghunatha Bhatita Pavan Kaha Mora Bhatta Juga Kaha Kaviraj Eka Kale Gota Gela Gora Natara Pashane Kuti Bomata Anale Pashibo Goranga Gunera Nede Gota Gele Babo Se sabat sangira sange ye ki lo vilas se sangana paya kande narutamoda ye hanilo prema danda koruna prachu. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where such as a personality as Srinivasacharya God? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhattan, Gopal Bhattan? Where is Krishna Das, Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today, as we mentioned, is the appearance day of many great personalities and the disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we'll be reading and speaking about some of these personalities. Okay, actually, quickly we can do Raghunandana Thakur, who was the son of Mukunda. Mukunda was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as was Raghunandana. And Raghunandana, let's talk about Mukunda first. Mukunda was a physician, and he used to advise the Nawab, who's the Muslim governor. And what happens, Mukunda was so great a physician that sometimes he was advising the Muslim governor, and he saw the Muslim governor was being fanned by a peacock fan. And when he saw the peacock feathers on the peacock fan, what happened? Does anyone know?
He fainted.
He fainted because why?
He remembered Krishna.
He remembered Krishna. And he fell to the ground and he told the Muslim governor that he had epilepsy. What's epilepsy? Epilepsy is a disease. Does she know? Epilepsy is a disease where all of a sudden someone goes faints and they foam at the mouth and sometimes they can't breathe. It looks a little bit like ecstatic symptoms of Krishna consciousness. It's very, very similar. So what happened, so here's a great devotee. So one time he had to go on a trip to treat some people. So he said to his son, Raghunandana, that you should take care of the deities. And Raghunanda said, okay, I'll take care of the deities, I'll make the offering every day and do the aarti.
Yeah.
He just saw his father do those things. So his father went away and he made his offering to the deities. And he said to Krishna, all right, it's time now to eat. But then when he made his offering, nothing disappeared. Everything was still on the plate. And so then he started to get angry with Krishna. He said, eat, eat. And he started to cry. And finally Krishna got down off the altar with Radharani. You heard that story before?
Yeah, my dad told me when I wasn't eating my food.
So Krishna got down and he ate. And so it was pretty nice. And so then his father got back after a few days and he said, did you offer food to the deities? And Raghunandana said, yes, but Krishna was a little bit stubborn. I had to yell at him and cry and everything like that. And then finally he came and he ate. And his father said, what do you mean he ate like that? That's not the way you feed the deities. You feed them with mantra and they leave everything over after they've eaten. And Raghunandana said, no, that's not the way it works either. So he said, I'll show you, Father. So Mukunda was looking in the window of the temple room while Raghunandana was making his offering, and he did that, eat, eat, eat. And the deity got down, and he ate just half a ladu because it was already full. He'd just eaten food. And when the father saw that, he offered obeisances to his son. So if you become a great devotee, your father will offer obeisances to you. And that's Raghunandana. And that ladu, they say the ladu is still preserved today. Anyway, it's hard to understand how a ladu could be preserved after all those years. So that's Raghunandana Thakur. And so let's talk about Raghunath Das Goswami. So Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Gena Tasmai Shigurvena Maha. So Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, is the what's called the Prayojana Acharya. That means he teaches about Krishna Prema, the topmost aspect of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya Acharya. Sanatana Goswami is the Sambandha Acharya. Anyway, Sambandha means to understand your relationship with Krishna. Abhideya means to practice or to enact that relationship. And Prayojana means to perfect your spiritual life. So, anyway, and he was the most renounced person. He was born in a very wealthy family. Remember we talked about Kroorpati yesterday? Kroorpati. You know, a crore is 10 million. So if someone's a Kroorpati, that means they have 10 million rupees. How much is 10 million rupees?
I just have 20 rupees.
10 million rupees is like 200,000 Australian dollars. It used to actually be more. Anyway, so that's a Kroorpati, but if someone has many crores, then he's actually even better. So Raghunath Das Goswami's family was so rich, it was unbelievable. And his wife was like, it's described like Indra's wife, like coming down from the heavenly planets. She was like, I don't want to say Madonna, but some Bollywood star, like Rani Mukherjee. Anyway, right? His wife was like that, and his family, you know, they were all nice people, and they were devotees. They used to support Haridas Thakur. But Raghunath Das Goswami had the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he always wanted to run away from home. Why did he want to run away from home? Because he didn't want to go to school? He wanted to run away from home because he wanted to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he felt very much entangled with all the business that he had to do with his family and all, you know, the family affairs mean so much. What's called Gramya Katha. Does anyone know what Gramya Katha is? Ordinary talks. You know, how are you? I'm fine. You know, how's your aunt? How's your uncle? Kaka? You know, how's that? So that, that. And then finally you get to chant Hare Krishna after 8 hours. It's called Gramya Katha. So he just wanted to chant Hare Krishna all day long and he wasn't attracted to all the wealth. So he wanted to escape from home. But his father kept several guards, so every time he tried to escape from home, they just like dragged him back. So he's kind of frustrated. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, you know, don't do that. Just act as an ordinary person, but in your heart, cultivate love for Radha and Krishna. And then Krishna will come and make an arrangement to save you. So what happened later on is that he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. There was this place called Panihati. You ever heard of Panihati before? Panihati was the place where the Chip Rice Festival was held. So Raghunath Das Goswami, who was just Raghunath Das at that time, he wasn't Goswami, he went to see Lord Nityananda, and he was so humble that he remained some distance away from Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda said, when he saw Raghunath Das, he said, there he is, he's a thief, catch him. And they dragged Raghunath Das to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda put his feet on Raghunath Das and said, now I've caught you, I'm going to give you a fine. And your fine is that you have to provide a feast of chip rice with yogurt and condensed milk and fruit and everything like that for all my devotees. And so Raghunath Das, with all his money, provided that. It was a big festival. There were so many people, there wasn't even enough space for everyone to sit. So sometimes people had to sit in the water, like up to here, just to eat their chip rice. Some of the Brahmins. So, in this way, he got Lord Nityananda's mercy, and also he gave donations to all of Lord Nityananda's associates. And because he got Lord Nityananda's mercy, he was later on able to escape. And how he escaped is really interesting. He was at home one night, surrounded by the guards. The guards were keeping him from escaping. But then his guru, Yadunanda Acharya, came, and he said to Raghunath that the pujari of the deities hasn't shown up, so please, you know, go to his home and encourage him to show up. So Raghunath Das said, okay, I'll do that, and you can go home, Gurudev. By that time, it was like 2:00 in the morning, all the guards were sleeping. So Raghunath Das immediately ran away to Jagannath Puri, but he had to go through the forest, because if he went by the regular road, they would have caught him, because all the devotees were on the regular road. So he went through the forest and slept at the house of milkman, or the barn, actually, of the milkman. And for like 11 days going to Jagannath Puri, he was only able to eat for like 2 or 3 days. He was so enthusiastic. So he finally arrived in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the shelter of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he actually took instruction from Swarup Damodar Goswami and remained with Lord Chaitanya there, gradually becoming more and more austere. In the beginning, he would eat Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants. And then after some time, he would actually beg for food at what's called the Singha Dwara Gate. You know the Singha Dwara Gate in Jagannath Puri? That's the lion's gate, it's the main gate of Jagannath Puri. And he would just beg, and people would give him something to eat. And then later on, he became even more austere. He just went to the free kitchen. The reason he didn't beg anymore is because by begging, you develop a Vaishya mentality. In other words, here's someone who'll give me money or give me some food, and this person won't. So you discriminate based on how someone will help you or not. So then he started eating at this, what's called a soup kitchen, you know, like a free kitchen. And then after that, he even renounced eating at the free kitchen. And what he did is he went to this place right outside one of the gates of the Jagannath Temple, where they throw away all the rice that nobody will eat. And the reason nobody would eat the rice is the rice was like 5, 6, 7, 8 days old. You ever seen old rice? It smells sometimes. It was like old rice. So he got this rice and he washed it with a little water to get rid of, I guess, the fungus and everything I get on it. And he added a little salt and he ate the rice. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, Lord Chaitanya went to where he was and forcibly took some of that rice and ate it. And Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped him, of course, from doing that. And Lord Chaitanya said, you're keeping such nice prasadam to yourself and you're not allowing me to have any. So in this way, he showed that the Mahaprasadam from Lord Jagannath is never contaminated. One shouldn't discriminate like that. So because they were on a higher spiritual platform, he also Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he would take all the prasadam and he would mix it, all the sweets and everything mixed together so as not to have material enjoyment when he was eating the prasadam, just to honor the prasadam. So anyway, so Raghunath Das was very, very renounced. He'd be chanting, practically speaking, all day long, sleeping 1/2 hour maybe if you, some days. Can you do that? 1/2 hour. You know, even after you sleep 8 hours, you start crying in the morning. So he would sleep maybe 1/2 hour and then chant the rest of the day. And he stayed with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the whole time when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri. And he stayed until Lord Chaitanya left this world by entering into the Tota Gopinath temple. The Tota Gopinath temple is a temple of the deity. Gopinath is sitting down, is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's deity. So when Raghunath Das saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world, he thought, I'm going to commit suicide. You know what suicide is?
Yeah.
That's when someone kills themselves. Very bad. Devotees should never do that. Nobody should do it. So he decided to go to Vrindavan and jump off of Govardhan Hill. And in this way, leave his body. He was going to go to the top of Govardhan Hill, just jump and leave his body. But when the devotees in Govardhan and also in Vrindavan, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, understood his plan, they said, no, you can't do that. Instead, you should tell us about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Because Raghunath Das, amongst the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, had more personal association with Lord Chaitanya than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. Raghunath Das was also given a Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala. You know what Gunjamala is? It's that red, those reddish beads, reddish and white beads around Govardhan. You see the beads there? But that's called Gunjamala. It represents Radharani. You have to be careful not to pronounce it as Ganjamala. Ganja is something else. But anyway, Gunjamala. And the Govardhan Shila, that means he gave Raghunath Das a place at Govardhan Hill. So in this way, Raghunath Das regularly recited for several hours a day the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya while he was in Vrindavan and also Radhakund. Yesterday, we actually saw Raghunath Das Goswami's samadhi. Do you remember that? What did it look like?
Kind of a small dome.
Yes, it looked like a dome, like this. Remember that? Remember the thing we went around? That's his samadhi, and his ashes are there. And Raghunath Das Goswami also was the acharya for Govardhan, and specifically for Radhakund, but Govardhan too. So Raghunath Das Goswami supervised the excavation, that means digging out Radhakund and Shyamakund, as we mentioned yesterday. And Raghunath Das Goswami lived on the banks of the Shyamakund, and as he was chanting, we told the story yesterday, we can just tell it again real quickly. He never bothered to build a bhajan kutir. What's a bhajan kutir?
Where he does kirtan.
Yeah, where you do kirtan and chanting. So he never bothered to build it because he thought it's too much trouble. Can you imagine that? Just thinking, it's too much trouble to build a little tiny room. I just want to stand outside, you know, and I don't want to make any endeavor for myself. It's pretty interesting. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he took a vow to chant 1 billion rounds a day, he stayed in a little hut, but he didn't even take the trouble to fix the leak on the roof of the hut, which would have been easy because it was just straw. He just stood with an umbrella and chanted. So Raghunath Das was feeling the same way, so he was chanting on the banks of the Shamakund. And one time, Sanatan Goswami came, and he saw Raghunath Das chanting, and at the same time, he saw tigers drinking from Shamakund and Radhakund. And he saw Krishna standing guard to protect Raghunath Das from the tigers. Remember the story yesterday? And then when he saw that, and Krishna winked at him, you know, like that. And then Krishna disappeared. When he saw that, he chastised Raghunath Das and said, build a Gvaja and Kutir. And then a few days later, he saw Srimati Radharani doing what?
Shielding him with the sari.
From the sun. And she was sweating because it was so hot out. And then he really chastised Raghunath Das at that time. He said, you build something. I don't care about your so-called renunciation. You build a bhajan kutir. And Raghunath Das built a bhajan kutir, really tiny room like we see now. It's not exactly the same room. The construction is newer. But it was very small. And you'll see the places where these sannyasis and great devotees and even Lord Chaitanya stayed, they were actually quite small. Like if you go to Jagannath Puri and see the Gambira, who here has seen the Gambira in Jagannath Puri? It's very small, isn't it? Tiny little place. It's not like a giant room like modern day sannyasis have, like for the porch, overlooking Govardhan Hill, with comfortable chairs and beds, and air purifiers, and air conditioners, and thousands of servants. You know, it was very austere. Modern day sannyasis are not. That's why we call modern day sannyasis Maharaj. Because they act like kings instead of sannyasis. Anyway, I'm just joking. Just a teasing thing. So, that's Raghunath Das Goswami. Let's see if there's any. Oh, yeah, one of his most prominent writings is called the Mana Shiksha. That means the instructions to the mind. And it's a very important literature, very small, but important literature, instructing his mind to control itself and to worship Krishna. And devotees can read this and also listen to it. Someone else did a recitation of the Manakshiksha. In Krishna's pastimes, his name is Rasa Manjari or Rati Manjari. That's his eternal spiritual position. And I think I pretty much told everything. I didn't have to read from here. That's it. That's Raghunath Das Goswami. So now we'll go to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. He took birth, he appeared in 1586. That's a long time ago, isn't it? How many years ago was that? Uh-oh. It's less than 500 years. So, that's a mathematical question. That's why it says you can learn everything from Prabhupada's books. Because if you ask questions, you know, based on so-and-so appeared in 1586, then you have to learn subtraction and, you know, everything like that. What's this year?
2013.
What year comes after that?
2014.
Keshav, do you know what year this is?
2013.
I know, you're just copying. What's the year before 2013?
2012.
Wow, that's good. So anyway, so he's in a Chakravarti family, and that's like a really high-class Brahmin family. Let's see. And he wrote many literatures. He's known as the Rasacharya because he wrote many literatures about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We told the story yesterday how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had his place right next to the bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami. And who did he talk to learn about Krishna's pastimes? Does anyone remember? The children. Yes.
The pilu tree.
The pilu tree, who used to be a...
Brahmana.
From?
Kashi.
Very nice. You've been hearing. So from his early age, he was very renounced. And it's not that people should imitate him. We're not advocating the grahasas to imitate Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but there's an interesting story that his guru one time, he was in Vrindavan, told him to go back home and to associate with his wife. So he went home, and it was the night time, so he lay down on his bed and recited Bhagavatam to his wife for the whole night. So he was definitely not so attached. So he took up his residence in the Bhajan Kutir of Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, which we saw on the banks of the Radhakund. And he studied the Goswami's literatures. He established the worship of the deity named Gokulananda. He wrote commentaries. These are some of the books he wrote commentaries on. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Alankara, Kostuba, Ujvala Nilamani, that's Rupa Goswami's advanced book on devotional service, Ananda Brindavan Champu, which is Kavi Karnapur's book on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. I did a recitation of that. Anyone's heard that? No. You've heard it. My Ananda Vrindavan Champu's recitation. Vidagdha Madhava, I also did a recitation on that. You've heard that? Vidagdha Madhava, Gopal Thapani Upanishad, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Has anyone read the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yes.
I'm reading
that. Good. And actually many, many other books. Let's say his Diksha Guru parampara is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lokanath Goswami, then Narottamadas Thakur, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Krishna Charan Chakravarti, Radharaman Chakravarti, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So that's his Diksha Guru parampara. Now, one thing he's known for is that once upon a time there was a big dispute, a big argument in Jaipur. What happened is that there were two groups of devotees. One were called Ramanandis, and the other one were the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And the Ramanandis said, you can't have Radha and Krishna on the same altar. It's just not proper. There should be just Krishna. And you put Radharani in a separate temple. And the Gaudiyas were saying, that's us, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are saying you got to put both of them on the altar together. Even Prabhupada said if they were too far apart, he said move them closer together. Because Radha and Krishna, I've seen some devotees that put Radha and Krishna like this on the altar. And I've seen even some devotees put Gaur Nitya on opposite ends of the altar, which is ridiculous. Gaur Nitya have to be together too. So what happened is the Ramanandis started to argue with the king of Jaipur. The king of Jaipur, he wanted Radha Krishna together, but the Ramanandis wanted them apart. So eventually the Ramanandis won the argument, and they took Radharani and put her in a different temple, which was terrible. And so when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur heard about this, he got very upset. But he was very old at that time. He was in Vrindavan. That's Radhakund. And Jaipur is how far away? 5 hours by car. But if you travel by foot...
10 hours.
10 hours? I think you're going to win the Olympics, if you do that. If you travel by foot, then I would say it's 5 days, basically. Oh, more than that. Actually, more than that. Probably 10 days apart. Yeah, because a car can go like 60 kilometers an hour, and for you to walk 60 kilometers, probably a regular person would take 2 days, right? I would think so. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very old, so he sent his disciple named Baladev Vidyabhushan to defeat the Ramanandis. So Baladev Vidyabhushan went there and he had an argument with the Ramanandis and he won. But then the Ramanandis said, but you Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's us, have no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And therefore you're not bona fide. I don't care what you say. You are not bona fide. And so then Baladev Vijayabhushan didn't know what to do, so he prayed to the deity of Govinda. Remember the Radha Govinda deities? These are the Radha Govinda deities because they were taken from Vrindavan when the Muslims attacked. So he prayed to the deity Govinda, please help me. And then the deity began to speak. And the deity dictated to Baladev Vijayabhushana what's called the Gaudiya commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And so he wrote down, as Krishna spoke in his heart, and he wrote this down, then he presented, and he won the argument. And then Radha and Krishna were together again. So the devotees say that the reason Radha and Krishna were separated was not so much because of the argument, it was because they had a fight with each other. So they arranged this whole pastime so they could be separated. Because sometimes Radharani gets angry with Krishna. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Krishna wants to make her angry. What does Krishna do to make her angry? He says the name of Chandravali to her. He says to Radharani, your face is just like many moons. So how do you say many moons? What is the word for moon?
Chandra.
Chandra. So what is the name? So many moons is Chandravali. So he says, sir, your face is just like Chandravali. Many moons. He meant many moons. Well, anyway, he did it on purpose. Krishna doesn't make mistakes. So when she heard that, can you imagine saying, you know, a man on, because yesterday was Valentine's Day, right? We forgot to celebrate. Do you celebrate in Australia Valentine's Day?
Yes, I go on. Like there's a website and there's games I play. It's 11 times a day.
He doesn't know. That's good. No, like, age,
like my there's like that game.
So anyway, so like on Valentine's Day, imagine a boy saying to his girlfriend, you know, your face is like my other girlfriend. No. His face would be all smashed. So Krishna said that to Radharani. Radharani got very angry with him and she went away. And that's why we told the story about the Gaurikund story the other day. That's why Krishna had to dress like a lady, the goddess Gauri, so he could get in to see Radharani again. Because you had Lalita and Vishakha holding sticks to beat Krishna if he ever came near. They were there, Radharani's guards. Especially Lalita. Lalita is very hot-tempered. Vishakha is actually cooler. But Lalita is like, I'll kill that Krishna when he comes near. Now Vishakha tries to make peace between the two of them. So what happened is that there's an argument. And so Krishna had to dress up as a lady. So in the case of the Radha Govinda deities, the acharyas explained there was an argument between Radha and Krishna, so they separated them, and then the argument was made up. And that's Vishwanath Chakravarti's great, great personality, and today is his disappearance day. All right, and let's see, who else do we have here? We have, Pundarik Vijayaniti. Does everyone know who Pundarik Vijayaniti is? He is... In his previous pastime, he was Brisha Banu. Who's Brisha Banu?
Radharani's father.
Father, Radharani's father. So he appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Pundarik Vijayaniti. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always call him father, father, father. He would cry out, Pundarik, 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 my father, my dear most friend, when will I see him again? So Pundarik Vijayaniti was the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. But Pundarik Vijayaniti externally did not appear like a renounced person. What's a renounced person? That means someone who has very little, like sannyasi, not modern day sannyasis. But let's say the Babaji's, you know, just wear a little cloth. Like some places we went into, the Babaji's were, you saw that they were just wearing one little cloth and bathing. And even the cloth was torn. That's a renounced person. So he wasn't. Pundarika Vijayanidhi, even though he was a pure devotee and the father of Radharani, he had a lot of money and he had a big bed and he used to chew pan. What's pan? It's intoxicating. You ever seen like the people chewing their little, they buy it in little tiny packages here, and they chew it and when they spit it out, right? And there's little red things on the ground. And you look at people, look at people's teeth and their teeth are like tinged like reddish.
Yeah.
That's from chewing the pan. So he used to chew the pan and he had long hair, like Isha's hair. And it had oil in it, sandalwood oil. And so one time, but he was a great pure devotee. So Mukunda, he wanted to take Gadadhar, who is Srimati Radharani in Krishna's pastimes. He wanted to take Gadadhar to see Pundarika Vijayanidhi. So he said, let's go, he's a great devotee. But when Gadadhar saw him, he thought, phew, this guy is just a materialist. Look at it, you know, long hair, beautiful long hair, chewing pan, sitting on a bed with silk sheets. Do you have silk sheets? Very expensive silk sheets, and people fanning him. You know, three or four people with fans. They didn't have electric fans at that time. And so Gadadhar thought, oh, this is not such a great devotee. But then Mukunda understood that Gadadhar was making a mistake or thinking improperly. So Mukunda began to chant a prayer from the Bhagavatam, one of the verses from the Bhagavatam, and Pundarika Vijayanidhi went into ecstasy. He started rolling on the bed, kicked apart all the expensive sheets, you know, was foaming at the mouth, all the symptoms of ecstasy. Like we said, epilepsy. So epilepsy is very similar to ecstasy. Sometimes you can't tell it apart. A devotee has this thing called Divyon Mada, which means transcendental madness. So he was rolling around, and then Gadadhar. What's that? Okay. Then Gadadhar Pandit understood he had made a mistake by thinking that Pundarika Vijayanidhi was a materialist. And then he said, oof, now I've made a great offense, a great mistake, so the only way I can rectify myself is by taking initiation from him. So when Pundarika Vijayanidhi came to external consciousness, he said, please become my guru. Let me take initiation from you. And Pundarika Vijayanidhi said, it's only after many births that one gets a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he was the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And that's basically the story of Pundarika Vijayanidhi. There's not much more here. Oh yeah, another story. This is another story. It's very nice. Once upon a time, there was this ceremony called Odhana Shashti in Jagannath Puri, where you give Lord Jagannath new clothes. And so the devotees gave Lord Jagannath clothes that were completely new. They had not washed it, which meant it had starch in it. You know what starch is? You don't know what starch is. Starch, when you have new clothes that aren't washed, the clothes are like real stiff and rough on the skin. I mean, it's just like, do you ever have clothes that really itch you or don't feel good?
Yeah.
So that's like starch clothes. Ew. And so when Pundarika Vijayanidhi saw that the devotees were giving Lord Jagannath starch clothes, he got very disturbed. And he thought in his mind, this is Maya. And so that night, he had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Jagannath came to him along with Balaram, and they started slapping him.
Slapping who?
Pundarika Vijayanidhi. Lord Jagannath and Balaram started going, quack, 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 quack. Not Subhadra. Subhadra didn't hit him. So it's just like, boom, 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 you offended my devotees. So the next morning, he wakes up, right in the middle of the night, he wakes up and his cheeks were all swollen from the slapping in the dream. And then he realized, when he went to see Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Why your cheeks are all reddish?" And then he explained what had happened. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "You're very fortunate to be slapped around by Lord Jagannatha." So that's Pundarik Vijayaniti. He had a very intimate relationship. Here's the quote. He said, "What is this? Your cheeks are so swollen. Are you in pain?" Pundarik Vijayaniti said, "Swarup, today all my doubts have been destroyed. Remember how I criticized the use of starch cloths in Lord Jagannath's worship? Just see the reaction to that offense in my two cheeks. In a dream, Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram came to me, and for almost an hour they beat me severely without any stopping." In other words, for an hour they were just beating him. "They asked me, 'Do you have anything more to say about our new clothes?' And saying thus, they continued to slap my face. And they beat me with the rings on their fingers." Can you imagine that? It's really heavy to get hit. "But I could not make any reply. In my present embarrassment, I don't want to meet anyone. When the swelling goes down, I'll be able to go out again." "And I feel very fortunate I've received a punishment, a fitting punishment for my offense. This is the Lord's mercy. Otherwise, I would have fallen into hell." So that's Pundarik Vijayaniti. And we covered everywhere. Of course, Vishnupriya is the last one we didn't cover. We better go real quickly. Vishnupriya is the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually the second wife of Lord Chaitanya, because his first wife passed away out of separation. His first wife's name was Lakshmipriya. And when Lord Chaitanya went to East Bengal, Lakshmipriya died from the snake bite of separation. So Vishnupriya was a great devotee and so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, she took a vow to worship a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but she would only set aside one grain of rice for every Hare Krishna mantra that she chanted. In other words, that's how she would count her japa. She'd go, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And that's all she would eat at the end of the day. Pretty austere, isn't it? Of course, if we had that, we would chant a lot of japa. I wouldn't stop chanting. I'd be chanting like 128 rounds a day. If I had to say that. Isn't it? That's a good way to force yourself to chant more rounds. Children should try that. Yeah. Only get one grain of rice for every Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
No, I would try one grain of chocolate.
And you would chant more. So she would do that, and she was so dedicated. And she blessed many devotees like Srinivasacharya and others in Krishna consciousness. So that's Vishnupriya Devi. Okay, so we better get ready to go. That's the end of class. All glories to His divine grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada.